Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the Instant Match Reaction Show. It was Arsenal 2, it was Liverpool 1. I'm Paul Machen. I'm joined by Chris Pajak for this one. I said this, I think, with the Burnley game, Chris. It's just been a bit of an anticlimax since we won the league, and I think some of this ties into it. If I had that memory to cling on to, you know, being in the grounds, and you were saying it yourself, like, you, if you've got these memories and songs and all these kind of things around it, you can cling on to that. Now, I've got a bit of that from, like, going on the ground and celebrating and what have you, but it's just because I don't have this emotional attachment to these games in the way that I would have done in any other kind of situation, but it doesn't stop it being just a bit.
No, it doesn't, and it's so difficult, isn't it? Because I normally know how I feel during a game, before a game, and after a game, and I don't recognise the almost lack of emotion that I have for football games at the moment, mm-hmm. because I've never been in this situation before, and I am annoyed that Liverpool didn't get the win.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater when I don't know the sort of battleground at the moment. I've got no idea what we're trying to do, whether we are trying to blood for next season, whether we're trying a few different things. I've got no idea. So I can't come down too harshly on Liverpool because, you know, I can understand why they've slackened off a little bit. And, you know, when you're right, when you think about, you know, the Anfield thing and all that, and, you know, wanting to be in the ground and wanting to see that trophy lift and all that type of stuff. But, like, what are we supposed to do? We've just got to trudge on for a few more games, enjoy Liverpool lifting the trophy. Like, look, worst case scenario, we could get thumped by Chelsea and lift the trophy after the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want Liverpool that. I wanted Liverpool to win it of their own volition and then lift the trophy up after they've done it right then and there.
Yeah.
We've been robbed of that. We've been robbed of this Premier League victory as fans in the ground, whether it be away, whether it be home, whether it just be congregating with all your mates. It's just a fucking weird situation, and nobody knows how they're supposed to be feeling, I don't think, unless you're FSG out, because you've always known how you're supposed to be feeling.
I don't really count most of their opinions and thoughts, to be perfectly honest, like, I mean, because, again, this is the thing. It's always, I think there's just a lot of people who are waiting in the wings at all times for when things don't quite go to plan. And as I say, I've spent 2 years now forensically analysing, like, the social media reaction to Liverpool games, positive and negative, and they're like pre-programmed reactions. It's like people have just got a button that gets pressed whenever Liverpool are a bit disappointing, and the same old shite comes out. And inevitably, if it's one game, it's like, if you don't outscore the opponent, it's creativity or a goal scorer. And if you have a couple of poor results back to back, coupled with some negative transfer news, it just becomes FSG, FSG-rated conversations. And I just find it all a bit boring, if I'm honest.
But let's look at it in isolation at this game of football then. Because you've done a bit on Twitter reactions there, talking about it. I did a bit on the player ratings, talking about it. We've talked throughout the game about the social media reaction and stuff like that. Let's look at this game. Did Liverpool need a creative midfielder to have 24 shots?
No,
no, they didn't.
But do they need a more clinical centre forwards.
Yes, but we've got 220 goal of season strikers.
Yeah, I know.
So what are you supposed to do there? Yeah. Have three, because not many teams have three. I mean, I'd take it, don't get me wrong.
I'd absolutely
fucking take it. I'd love it to beat Bobby Firmino, but he's not that player. Mm. He facilitates us having 220 goal of season strikers.
Yeah.
So what do we need? A defender that doesn't make mistakes. We've kind of got that.
Yeah.
Like, bar the mistakes today, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, what you said it, and I was listening to your Twitter reaction. Like, if you said it along the lines of, if it was Lovren who came into this game and Adrian, you could understand. But these are probably the two best players in their position in their in the world.
Yeah.
In our world, never mind their world. Our world, the world.
Any world.
Any world, all of the worlds, all of the timelines, they're still the fucking best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So what? Like, it just happens that they can make mistakes.
Yeah. And that's the thing for me, is that it's just credits in the bank. And the problem is, again, if people, there's a negative mentality amongst them. And I can't, I feel like I do, again, I do that. I'm like, I'm answering people's anxieties is what I'm doing. And I get it, you know, that we're much more anxious people in general and have been more and more as the years go by. And I get it, the world's fucked. Fair play, be anxious, it's fine. When I look at the performance, I don't want to second guess how I'm saying things because I think how people react to them. And that's the problem why we do this job sometimes. And I find this because you find a tidal wave of negativity that follows Liverpool results. And some people are just doing it for a laugh. Some people are doing it, well, not necessarily Liverpool fans. And a lot of people do because they're genuinely a bit worried and whatever. And it comes out in probably slightly more extreme ways. And that's fine, you know. So I have to try and keep a level head on this because, you know, allow me this because I don't want to answer myself before I've said it. Take out the mistake from Virgil van Dijk and take out the mistake from Alisson, and I think Liverpool win that game. Now the counterpoint, of course, is you can't. But they're both so good that there's no legislating for that. Liverpool didn't do enough. Liverpool probably should have scored a second goal. And if Liverpool score a second goal and then you make those mistakes and you draw, you can be a bit more, you know, a bit more shrug of the shoulders of it. But I don't know. I'm not so disheartened.
You shouldn't be, because we did it. It sounds stupid. We did enough to win that game of football.
Yeah.
Arsenal didn't do enough to win that game of football, yet they've won it. That's football.
Yeah.
We've been there plenty of times in the past where the shoe's been on the other foot.
I don't like talking about Manchester City too much. I don't like the whataboutism of it. But look at the Southampton City game the other week when City absolutely battered them and Southampton win. It happens. It just hasn't happened to us very often this season, and it's happened to us more often in this last clutch. And I think there's a temptation to use our standard analysis tools on this chunk of the season the same way we would any other normal chunk, and it is a completely exceptional set of circumstances just because of fucking coronavirus, first and foremost. But also because we're living in a post-corona, well, not even, but a post-lockdown and post-title-winning world. And again, I thought Liverpool were the better team against Burnley and didn't get it. But when you couple those games back-to-back and you add in the fact that, you know, we don't really know what we're looking like, we don't really know how the difference is with the no crowds and all this kind of stuff, it feels like I'm just throwing excuses out. But fine, it's a mad world. If ever excuses, whether they're excuses or reasons or whatever, were valid, it's probably now. I can't bring myself to get lost in it all.
No, we don't need to make excuses for anybody, for anybody's opinions or anything. We should give ours.
Yeah.
Like, and ours are, like we've said all along, and we don't have to justify our opinions mm-hmm. to anybody. They're ours.
Yeah.
You know, right or wrong. I'm not saying they're always right, but we think very similarly when it comes to football and life and everything. You know, that's why we've been mates for so long. So it's not a combined, unified front. If I disagree with you, I'll fucking say. If you disagree with me, you'll fucking say it.
Yeah.
The fact is, we both don't think it's that big a deal at the moment.
I mean, one of us thinks it's acceptable to wear white socks as a 37-year-old.
And one of us thinks it's acceptable to fart at the end of a stream.
It's the same person.
Yes, it is.
but yeah, no, it's, you know, but it is, isn't it? Like, and I look at that performance, and it was very similar to Brighton. It was very similar to the Burnley game. Liverpool, for the first half an hour or so, were miles the better team, and both in a way similar to the Brighton stuff, we pushed the self-destruct button in a to some degree. nothing like to Brighton by comparison. Brighton gave us more of a game. Let's be honest, on the balance of play, Brighton caused us far more problems in that game than Arsenal caused us. And I don't want to take away from this again, because it's churlish. I said this during the live stream. Arsenal players had to be there to put the pressure on to capitalise. It's probably a foul on Virgil van Dijk, but he also should, you know, it's going to fall on deaf ears because he's Virgil van Dijk and he should do better. So Arsenal, Reece Nelson still had to finish the chance and it was still a good finish. So it's not like Liverpool kicked it into their own goal. So I don't want to, I don't want to rile anyone up with that because, again, I'm getting a bit carried away and all that. But Liverpool did absolutely shoot themselves in the foot. And again, on the balance of play, we've played worse and won this season. So I can't be too arsed. When we play well and don't win, 2 years ago, that was a problem. And that was actually Liverpool's problem, is that we had to be at our absolute best to win loads of games of football. And loads of times we play well and still lose. And you go, oh, jolly good show, Liverpool. Bloody unlucky. Oh. But it was indicative of a wider problem. Liverpool weren't a really top quality side. Now we are. So when we do lose games, add it into all the fucking contributing factors.
I'd be more worried if I was a City fan, to be honest with you. Because their form hasn't really changed. They've still lost as many games post-lockdown as we have.
Yeah.
You know, they've lost two Premier League games. We've lost two Premier League games. You know, they've not really closed the gap. I mean, Liverpool have got an absolute reason why, and it's because the league's over and done and dusted and everything. And those exceptional circumstances are a real thing. When it comes to the actual game, though, I mean, let's talk. I think there was a super chat a little bit earlier on, actually. Yeah.
John Cook, right at the start. I know it sounds like whinging, and I'm not blaming the ref, or what do you think about that non-offside penalty shot? Is the Minamino one?
He's
onside.
I thought it was miles offside at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, he's miles onside. That's a terrible decision.
Yeah.
And I think he's fouled then anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and look, I'm not asked how they want to do VAR. Like, do it as you want. It's still going to have talking points.
Yeah.
You can either have VAR where you've got talking points, or you can not have VAR where there's fucking still the same talking points and we're disallowing goals for different reasons. I don't think it's made any difference, actually, all told. When everything's on the table, we've had as many terrible goals given or called off as we were having before. And I'm not bothered if they get rid of it or they keep it. These issues are still going to exist, probably.
Yeah.
Like, that's a major issue. Mm-hmm. VAR should have been able to look at that, but they can't, can they?
Yeah. No, it's right. And it's just mad. Takumi, and I think I've seen some comments, he should just throw himself to the floor. And you know what I mean? Properly throw himself to the floor. Make a big stink out of it. Well, because you've got to.
Why?
Because you've got to give them, you've got to make the officials give the officials a something to something.
But offside is literally like a black and white thing.
Oh, I know.
So the foul thing, I totally understand.
Yeah.
But he absolutely is onside.
Yeah.
And then he's fouled.
And it's
now it's not given as a foul because he's given offside first.
It's double jeopardy, isn't it? Because if he sticks it in the back of the net, VAR looks at it, even if it's been called offside. But he can't stick it in there because he's fouled. So he can't, Takumi Minamino can't win, and you're right, that's the problem. And this is what, again, you said this after Burnley, there's a temptation for us to sit here and look at all the negatives in Liverpool's performance, and there were a few. Mohamed Salah, again, I think he's just done his own head in with this chase for the golden boot, and I just think scoring has become too important to him. When a couple of weeks ago, like the Crystal Palace game, like he's trying to let other people have chances and stuff in that game because he's not asked, and he's a better footballer for it. I think he's got it in his own head. I think Firmino's doing well. He's still doing the things that Firmino does, but actually he could probably do with scoring a couple of goals. You know, as much as he's the facilitator and Klopp will go to bat for him all day long, for his own sense of well-being, a goal would probably make him feel a bit better, make us feel a lot better about it.
The Salah thing, this is a mad shout. Okay, so just bear with me because it's nothing like it, but in my head it is, right? Do you know like when nine people turn up for five a side, and you're on that team with five, and you just think you're going to win because you've got the extra man and you might have even the better players at the same point? For some reason, it just doesn't fucking work. Like, you forget that you still have to run about. You forget that you still have to string passes together. Mm-hmm. Like, Salah's a bit like that. He just wants to get the goal, but his whole game is actually got a little bit worse for just trying to get the ball in the back of the net. And actually, I think it's spot on. for what Liverpool are doing right now. They're almost like, we're going to win this because we're the league champions. Mm-hmm. Nothing's on the line in the same way. Mm-hmm. Some people work better under pressure.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah. Liverpool look like a side that works better under pressure for me right now.
And look, this might be a game where the circumstances might require, like, having a clinical goal scorer in this football environment actually might be something that Liverpool could just do with. Just having a lad, like you look, I mean, again, he's playing at the Championship level, but Brewster's just banging all kinds of fucking poacher's goals away for fun at the moment. And having a lad who just bangs loads away actually might suit teams in this kind of environment, because it just means you get games put to bed and you don't have to worry too much about your overall style. But I agree with your notion there, and in that, you know, I mean, it's not obviously as cut and dry as the 4-5, but also we've got to remember, And this is why we forget about the other teams sometimes. And it's not a perfect point, but when we started on the Klopp, we engineered some great wins against sides that were better than us. Because bear in mind, we were like, what? We were a Europa League side when Klopp took over, if we were lucky. We were seventh and eighth-ish team in the Premier League when Klopp took over. And yet, Man City have been class for that entire time. And we go to the Etihad and we engineered a brilliant win against them. And Klopp talked about dragging teams down to your level and beating them there. I don't think Arsenal did that to us today. But it also shouldn't be, you know, they'll be made up with that. They'll be made up because they've just beaten the champions, and it's a good, and that Arteta will be able to use that in positive terms. He'll be able to take all the positives, and Arsenal Fan TV will be sat there and rightly so looking at all the good things they did and the good bits and pieces, and they'll have a clear idea of what they are. I couldn't tell you what they were, because again, from my perspective, I didn't see them do a great deal apart from that really good chance late on that Willock spoons. Didn't need to say it that way, it's just me being a bit of a twat. But he did, he properly spooned it. So it happens, and we'll have that, because as much as we're brilliant, we've been that chasing team before, and like Man City, who everyone still sees this fucking all conquering thing, I've lost loads of games this season, and yet nobody.
I've lost count. Is it still nine, or have they got double fingers now?
I think it's nine, Chris.
I think they were chasing double figures,
mate. Like, and we've lost three, and that's well more. That's like three times as many as none, which is what we all wanted us to get back in January. No. You know, and all this kind of stuff. Like, it's just, I it happens.
So none times three.
No,
is...
don't start me. You know what I mean? It's three more games. Not times three is still not. I get it. Thanks. It's one of them situations, isn't it? Again, if Arsenal had found a way, if I could look at it tangibly and say, this is what Arsenal did to unlock Liverpool. All these, like, because I've got it here, like, is there anything more to read into this run of form or what have you? And I can't, because it's pure speculation. I can speculate as to the mentality of the players. I can speculate as to what it might mean. But all I can really do is look at the way Liverpool performed and look at what our opponents did. And I can safely say, confidently, whether it's right or wrong or it's red-tinted glasses, it doesn't matter because my beliefs are my beliefs. I don't need other people to believe them to have my... I've got a bit Morpheus there, but you get my point. Liverpool were much better than Burnley. And were profligate in front of goal, and that's what cost them. Liverpool were much better than Arsenal, but were fucking shocking at the back and made catastrophic errors, which were capitalised upon.
Yeah,
that's it.
Let's have a look at my iPad quickly, then, Paul. Mm-hmm. You can see it. I've got it up on the screen right now, and we're just going to the shots, mate. And now, if I showed you those two, one on the left, one on the right, and said which team won this game of football,
and bear in mind, just for the people listening, that the left one is a sparse landscape with a couple of dotted arrows, and the right one looks like when you were a kid and you draw a battle scene, but it'd be like a live battle scene, and you'd have people fight on the bay, and it just looks like an absolute bloodbath.
It probably looks like the Wigan Hull game from yesterday. You know what I mean? That's what Gabe you're looking at, yeah. And going, that's what's happened, yeah. Here, but unfortunately it's not. And Liverpool created enough opportunities, and this is the thing. Yes, we didn't finish our chances, but we created opportunities. We didn't play badly. We created opportunities.
Can I remind you of a familiar argument? And it's actually from, I think it's an argument from two seasons ago now. And we said, I'd be more worried if Liverpool weren't creating the chances and they weren't getting into the right positions. I remember we were underperforming compared to our XG, etc., etc. And I remember Paul Tompkins was writing a brilliant article saying we shouldn't be concerned, but people were concerned because it's not up to fans to truly dive in, do deep dive analysis on stuff. For a lot of people, all the stats they're asked about is the one that tells you the score. That's the most important one in footy, and that's cool. But it depends on what narrative you're trying to back up in your own head, or what your perspective is on things.
I can absolutely get behind the goals being one of the most important stats in football.
The most important stat, however.
The league table trumps it.
Yes, and that's the difference. We've had this. We were sat here 2 years ago going, Liverpool aren't scoring, aren't putting games to them, but we're doing the right things. We're getting in the right positions. We were saying that argument. The difference between now and then is we've just won the Premier League and we're Premier League champions, and we won the European Cup last year and we got to the European Cup final the season before that. This is a team at the absolute, in the upper echelon of football right now. They deserve to be cut a little bit of slack. Whether you want to cut them slack for not being focused, or have they lost a bit of mentality,
they're not a shit side. They're still a great side. They're still league champions. And that's what it matters. Cut them all the slack that you want, but cut it whichever way. These aren't worse players than they were 4 months ago.
Yeah, 100%. I absolutely completely agree with that. And
again, still pole position for next year.
And it's
investment or not.
And I'll throw out the positive side of things, because it's always how I see life. I can't. It's just how I am in life. Is, I would say, and people who are trying to look at it and analyze it and say that it bodes poorly for next season, I think the transfer thing might hamper us. If we can't go out, and Klopp said himself, you know, to improve the squad, you need real money. And if Liverpool haven't got real money, that means there are a setback. And if we're in a world where other teams can find ways to spend that money, there might be a setback. At least, and this is what it is, at least we're coming in at this from a position of strength. If our lead's going to be chipped away, at least it's being chipped away. I'd rather us have it now, because we never got to choose when COVID happened.
Yeah.
That's out of Liverpool's control. And people can talk about the money Liverpool might have or might not have. Liverpool have always spent within the means. And if that's been impacted by that, it's been impacted by this. You've got to be a bit more pragmatic and accepting of it, because I don't think it's no one's fault. And I agree that might be a slight problem, and it's going to be hard for us to live in that world until we see the next season. That's going to be hard. But what we've seen at least is more minutes for Minamino. Oxlade-Chamberlain, not a great game today, but some more minutes for him on his first season back after a career-threatening injury. More minutes for Curtis Jones, more minutes for Nico Williams. We will never understand the difference that it will have on those lads' careers. Naby Keita, another one. Mm-hmm. The hope is, if Liverpool are capable of challenging for the league, and that's all you can ever ask for at the best, you hope for a challenge, and then you hope for a little bit of luck that helps get you across the line, apart from this season when we've just fucking blitzed it. That's all you can ask for. And if we're still strong next season, it's because of the benefits of this spell, not necessarily the negatives, because I don't think you can ask more from our first 11. Our first 11 is almost as good as you can humanly be. But if we've managed to put a bit more, if it means we're building a bit more in the other lads, or we've decided there's some lads who aren't worthwhile and we need to make some changes, then that'll be the benefit. But unfortunately, you can't know that now. That's not something I can tell you now. That's not something I can put in your hand and say to you, there you go. That's your defence against all the worries and criticism. It's just positive speculation, but it's just as valid as the negative, except mine comes from a perspective of, again, this is a Liverpool side that for the last three seasons has been fucking brilliant. So odds are I'm probably closer to right than the it's all fucked and the world's burning.
Absolutely. I'm just going to go one more time over to the iPad, if you don't mind. And a couple of tweets I saw from Dan Kennett today, actually. So the bottom tweet first. 298 million Liverpool turnover in 2015. 310 million is now our payroll in 2019. So in 4 years, our entire turnover was 5 years ago, our entire turnover was 298 million. Fast forward that 4 years, our payroll for the squad has gone up to 310 million. That is an absolutely remarkable level of investment in the playing squad, plus the main stand, plus Kirby, plus trophies. And he says FSG in on the end.
Dan's absolutely nailed that. Like.
And to anyone who says Liverpool need to invest in proven world-class players, we got Adrian Milner and Matip on a free, Trent from the academy, Robbo from Hull, Mane and Van Dijk from fucking Southampton, Gomez from Charlton, Genie from Newcastle, Hendo from Sunderland, Fabinho from Monaco, Naby from Leipzig, Ox from Arsenal, Bobby from Hoffenheim, Salah and Ali, Alisson from Roma, Shaqiri from Stoke. Yeah. We've done this without that. Why will we change? We won't. We still can be the best side in world football by investing the way that we have done. And he also says, hashtag build Edwards a statue, hashtag FSG in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. I agree. I completely agree. And I think, look, if you want to take that away with you, please, please do. I can't stress enough, and I shouldn't have to stress really, that it matters that Liverpool have won the league. Like, it's an important argument against any counter-argument, is that they've done it, they've finally done it, and it shouldn't be denigrated, the achievement of that. And maybe if you're not, maybe if you're a bit younger, it doesn't mean as much because you've not had to live through it. Like, again, I've lived these 30 years without it, and every year on top is another weight on the, you know, it's been dragging Liverpool down. All we've ever needed is to get the monkey off the back of just getting that title done and boxed, and we've done that now. And it might all come crashing down, but it probably won't. Just a couple of super chats.
Yeah, Leon Gary, I really can't care. League champions, you'll never walk alone. Stephen Featley, have Alisson and Van Dijk been watching our Kolasinac?
Quite possibly. And we've got Owen Douglas there with the $4.99 super chat. Thank you very much, Owen. We've played a lot worse than this and picked up results. Just unlucky with the mistakes today. Easily could have won the last two. Nothing concerning. Could not have summed it up any better, Owen. Thank you so much for that. Thank you to everyone who's left the super chat. Thank you to everyone who's joined up to a Red Men TV membership. You've got a couple of options if you want to support what we're doing here on the channel. If you enjoy the free content, then you can become a Red Men member on YouTube, where you get access to custom emotes and you get the final word show, which is going to be going out tomorrow. 60 minutes looking back on this game in a bit more depth and detail. I haven't rewatched it and got some better more insightful points, other than saying everyone who's dead miserable needs to cheer up, which is largely what we've done on this show. Also, if you want more, if you want it in podcast form and you want loads of extra shows, go to the redmentv.com website and sign up for a subscription there. You get the Around the League show, which was done on the Man City banner, did stuff on the Wigan stuff last week as well. Really good round of football content, Reds News roundup, all the Liverpool news, and a massive back catalogue of Liverpool interviews from players, legends and managers past and present. Can't recommend it enough. So yeah, if you're enjoying what we're doing, do support us. It helps, it means the world to us. But yes, we will be back again tomorrow with the final word for members and subscribers, and then next week we'll of course be building up to Chelsea as well, and the inevitable Liverpool lifting the Premier League championship, because we are the champions of England.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.